Is it just to pray? So we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer for the last few weeks, and we shall carry on today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you give us your word to teach us, to correct us, to show us the way to live. Lord, I ask that as we turn to the scriptures now, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would show us where we need to change to come in line with you, to come in line with your way. Lord, that our lives would be an act of worship honoring to you. Amen. We are going to start in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought in. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servants fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In his anger, the master handed him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Pretty sobering words there. So we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, and maybe even now, you've thought in your head, where have we got to today? But many rabbis around Jesus' time would have taught their disciples how to pray, what to pray, when to pray, where to pray. So it's no surprise that Jesus' disciples came to him, recorded in Luke chapter 11, and said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And we noted that there's a difference between the account in Luke where Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, and the account in Matthew where Jesus is on the hillside on the Sermon on the Mount teaching the masses how to pray. It's similar, but there are notable differences. It's important, I think, that we draw from that Jesus isn't giving his disciples an incantation. This isn't a form of words that you must pray verbatim, but rather he's saying, this is how you approach God. This is a way that you come before God. They would have been used to temple worship. There was a certain protocol that they approached God. He's saying, when you come, say, Our Father, we come acknowledging who God is. It's a sense of who we are, and it's our heart's expression. It's not just reeling off some words that are easily familiar to us, but it's God, how am I relating with you? Our Father in heaven, it starts. And we looked at the story, the parable of the prodigal son. And we drew the parallel with the father in that parable and God as our father. God is a loving father who, like the father in the parable, is looking and longing, waiting for us to come to him. He's not there waiting to discipline us, thinking, boy, when he gets here, am I going to give him what for? No, he's a loving father who's waiting, longing for us to come home. Our Father in heaven, we looked at the fact that heaven, access to heaven isn't restricted to a particular geographical location here on earth. We saw throughout scripture there were different places in geography where people had experiences of heaven. We understand from that we can come to God, our Father, who is in heaven, from anywhere. We don't have to go to a particular place to meet with God. We don't have to be in a particular building. We don't have to be in a particular country. We can, anywhere, we can call to God, our Heavenly Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is a prayer that we learn to live a life that honors God. A life that in all we do, we treat him with the respect and honor that is due to him. Not only us, but also those that don't yet know him. That they would learn, come to a point of knowing and honoring God. Your kingdom come, your will be done. What is the kingdom of God? We looked at the fact that the gospel that Jesus proclaimed was the fact that the kingdom of God has come near. The good news, the gospel, is that God has made himself known and revealed himself to us. And the kingdom of God is God's sovereign rule. Where God's will is done, God has come near. His kingdom has come near. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will done in heaven? How is God's kingdom reflected in heaven? Perfectly. There is no sin, there is no shame, there is no darkness in heaven. We looked at this verse from Revelation chapter 21. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. God's kingdom come, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven there is no pain. In heaven there is no sickness. In heaven there is no death. When we pray that, we're saying, Lord, we want something of your kingdom. Relief from pain and sickness and death. No more sadness. Lord, those are the kinds of things that we're saying, Lord, we want here on earth. And sometimes God works in us and through us to bring those things about. Sometimes we thought we have to be the answer to that prayer because God commands us, commissions us to go and do the kinds of things that he did to heal the sick. Lord, would you work through us that we would bring your kingdom here on earth more fully? Then last week, we were looking at the request, give us today our daily bread. Give us what we need for today. We so easily get consumed with, what about next week? What about next month? What about next year? Give us each day. What do we need, Lord, for today? We need to keep our focus on Jesus daily. It's not enough that we attend a meeting like this once a week and that's it. That's our connection point with God. Daily, we need to be connecting with God. And so that brings us on to today's verses. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. I thought quite topically, a pun there that I hadn't intended. I have here some Bondi Sands SFP 50 plus, very high protection. Blocks from UVA and UVB. Now, what is the purpose of this? To stop you getting sunburn, which is great. Now, I had this yesterday, but it didn't stop me getting sunburned. It was sitting there on the sun lounger next to me, and it didn't do a thing. Well, then I realized there's some maker's instructions on the back. Shake well before use. So you have to shake it first and then put it down on the counter. Is that it? No. Oh, there's a second step. Apply liberally and evenly to all unprotected areas. 20 minutes before exposure to the sun. Step 3, reapply every 2 hours or more frequently when sweating or after swimming exercise or towel drying. If you're exercising yesterday, you need your head seen to. And if you weren't sweating, you must have been in an air-conditioned room and probably didn't need that. It's important that we follow the maker's instructions. Another example of following instructions. I have here a variety of tea bags. We've got some Clipper Classic Everyday Fair Trade Tea. Organic peppermint infusion, a black English breakfast tea, a cranberry and raspberry, all natural ingredients from Twinings, and a Twinings Everyday, rich and full-bodied. If I want a cup of tea, I can't just drop that in a cup and expect to experience the benefit of it. I need to follow the instructions. You need your water at 100 degrees C, approximately 200 millilitres per tea bag, and dunk it for 2 to 3 minutes. Although it does say, we've made our everyday tea so it's strong enough after just 1 minute, but we think it tastes better after 2 with a splash of milk. If you want a decent cup of tea, follow the maker's instructions. Where am I going with that? In Genesis, we have some of the maker's instructions. Genesis chapter 2. So when we talk about sin and we say, forgive us our sins, what is sin? Genesis chapter 2, we have God and creation. He gives Adam and Eve an instruction. In verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." So that is the command that God gave to Adam. Now, when we think about God's commands, the word used is Torah. Now, what does the word Torah literally translate as? Do you know? Literally,
instruction.
Literally, it translates as instruction or teaching. We have a slight problem in that often it's translated as law. And in our culture, we understand that law being very different to instruction and teaching. So what is sin? Sin essentially is going against the Maker's instructions. If God gives us an instruction, if he's teaching us how to live, and we say, "Actually, God, I know better than you. I'm going to do it this way." That is sin. Sin is disregarding God. It's disregarding his instructions. It's saying, "God, I reckon I know better about how to do this thing called life than you do." In Genesis 2 there, God gave the instruction, "Don't eat from that tree." That was his instruction. It was the sin in itself wasn't eating a fruit. Some people try to trivialize this and say, how could a loving God condemn someone to death for eating an apple? Well, let's not mischaracterize this. The sin was going against what God had said, is disregarding his instruction. The sin was assuming that my way of thinking and understanding and being is better than God's. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, we get a definition of what sin is. Sin is lawlessness. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. God's law, God's instructions, God's teachings were given to teach us how to live well. We get a summary of that in the Ten Commandments, don't we? Love the Lord your God first and foremost. Don't worship idols, set up idols and worship them. Honor your father and mother. Don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't covet what other people have. It's kind of a summary of the whole of God's teaching. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we have this verse that explains why God gave the law. He said, "Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess." God's given you his instructions so that your life will go well for you. Then in chapter 11, verses 8 and 9, some excerpts of it there. "Observe therefore all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and so that you may live long in the land." God gave his instructions. He teaches us how to live so that we would have a life closer to what he designed for us. So, why is forgiveness necessary? If sin is disregarding God, if sin is saying, "God, I know better, I think my way is best, I want to go my way, not yours," Well, Ezekiel 18 says on two occasions, the one who sins is the one who will die. Disregarding God means cutting yourself off from Him, separating yourself from Him. And we saw that in Genesis chapter 2 that we just looked at. Another famous verse, Romans 6 verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Death was necessary in the Garden of Eden, because when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost the glory that was covering them. They lost the glory of God, and God killed an animal to clothe them. He made clothes for them. It required a sacrifice of an animal for them to be covered, to cover the effects of their sin. God is entirely just. And for justice to be maintained, disobedience requires punishment. The gulf between mankind and God cannot be restored without justice being meted out. It's worth noting as well that primarily sin, all our sin, is against God, regardless of what we think, who we think we have sinned against. If I come up to you and punch you in the face, that is a sin against God. Yes, it is also a sin against you, but it is a sin against God. And King David realized that he sinned by taking someone else's wife. He sinned against her. He sinned against Uriah, a man who was out serving the king in the front line of the battle. And what did David say? Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. He realized that in sinning against people, he was sinning against God. When we looked at Luke chapter 15, we saw the parable Jesus telling about the prodigal son who goes off and he's living in squalor and thinking, what am I doing here? I'm going to go back to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Jesus is underlining the fact here that when we sin against other people, primarily we are sinning against God. How is that? How come? Because every person has been created as a living, breathing image of God. Every human being carries the image of God. And maybe you'll remember that verse in Matthew 25 where Jesus is giving the parable of the sheep and the goats and saying, whatever you did for the least of these, the orphan, the widow, the prisoner, those who are sick and people who needed help, whatever you did for them, that you were doing that for me. Whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. When we sin not just against people, but primarily we sin against God. Forgive us our sin. Lord, please forgive me as I also forgive everyone who sins against me. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. That word as, it's only a little word, but it's a big hinge that this sentence hangs on. Forgive me as. The Greek word there is, it's to do it in the same manner. In the way that I forgive people that sin against me, God, please, will you forgive me? We cannot accept forgiveness unless we know how to forgive. We can't be forgiven and receive that unless we are able to forgive. I need to learn to offer forgiveness completely so that I can receive God's forgiveness completely. So, what are the consequences of not forgiving? What are the consequences of unforgiveness? Withholding unforgiveness harms you more than the person that you refuse to forgive, more than the person who hurt you. Unforgiveness, the other person may be completely oblivious whether I've forgiven them or not. I may have nothing to do with them anymore. They might not care whether I forgive them or not. But the unforgiveness in my heart will do me more harm, probably, than what they did to me. It affects our emotions. Holding on to unforgiveness affects our relationships. Not just the relationship with the person who we are refusing to forgive, but we carry that into all relationships. And unforgiveness will affect your physical health. We could talk at length probably about the way that it causes stress in your body and raise cortisol and what cortisol does to your health. Physically, that kind of thing will affect your health. But let's just underline, what is forgiveness? Or maybe we should start with, what forgiveness is not? Forgiveness does not say that what the person did, oh well, it's justified. It was okay. I'm just going to excuse their behavior. It really wasn't that bad. We need to be honest about when we have been hurt. We don't just excuse someone's behavior and make excuses for them. Forgiveness is not excusing behavior. Similarly, forgiveness, it doesn't mean we are reconciling with a person. Sometimes reconciliation may not be possible. Depending on what has happened, a relationship may have been torn apart badly, and reconciliation may not be possible or even desirable. Saying that you forgive someone doesn't mean saying that you want to be reconciled to them necessarily. In that vein, forgiveness doesn't say, I now trust that person. If there has been an abusive relationship or something has happened, you would be foolish to say, yeah, I forgive you and I trust you 100%. No, that is not forgiveness. Trusting again is not forgiveness. Being open to the possibility of trust, but it needs to be built over time. And forgiveness doesn't say, I let that person off the hook for what they did. It doesn't say that justice no longer needs to be meted out. Forgiveness is not saying, it's okay, everything can go back as it was, and no one need worry about it. No. If a crime has committed against you, in the context of our legal system here in the UK, if a crime has been committed against you, that person should face judgment under the law of the land. That's not at odds with you forgiving them from your heart. Forgiveness is releasing the debt that person holds over you. some of the translations for the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's letting go. It's letting go of the right to make them pay for what they did. It's not in your hands. When you forgive, you say, it's not in my hands to make them pay. Yes, they may have to pay restitution to the state. They may have to pay restitution to God. It's surrendering the judgment. We trust the matter to God. I'm not holding it as my responsibility to be the judge, jury, and executioner for this person for what they did. I trust God. Sometimes we can hold on to unforgiveness and it becomes part of who we are and it becomes part of our identity. I'm the person who had that done to them. Forgiveness lets go of that. It allows us to choose freedom over resentment so that the past no longer shapes our identity. Forgiveness is about opening our hearts to grace. It's adopting the same posture towards another person as I need from God. It's allowing that flow of grace and mercy to come from God through me to another person. Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We're going to conclude by taking communion, taking the bread and the wine, and we remember what Jesus has done in order that we could be forgiven. But the question is, do I realize the extent to which I need to be forgiven? And say, yeah, I know I need to be. No, to what extent do I need forgiveness from God? Do I appreciate the nice little me who's quite happy to look over my own faults and see past my own failings? What extent do I need to be forgiven? The short answer to the question, do I realize the extent to which I need to be forgiven? The short answer is no. I haven't a clue. I don't know the half of it. But maybe God will help us as we spend time with Him, just alone in the silence. Lord, how have I offended you? How have I disregarded you? How have I gone against your will and your way and not even realized it? And finally, who do I need to forgive? Because the way I treat that person Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.